and share with us this morning. So, Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the, Lord, we thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us, Lord. We thank you for just the time that we get to spend with you, Lord God. We thank you for all you've given us. And right now, we thank you for John and the word you've put on his heart. And we ask that you would bless it and anoint it, Lord God, and use it for your glory and your purposes.
Amen. All right, so apparently I'm on a little power trip here because the last message I had was the power to change, and today's message is the power of hope. Amen. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful." You know, you can't talk about hope without including trust and faith. Because hope seeks trust, right? If we're going to trust, if we're going to have hope in anything, we need to trust in it. And the greater our trust also helps us to increase our faith. But when we turn that around, you see that more faith leads to more trust, which gives us greater hope. So I was going to use an example of a hamster wheel, but you know what? Hamster wheels don't go anywhere. I want you to go someplace. Amen? But it is kind of circular on exactly what happens with faith, trust, and hope. You know, it goes one way and then it comes back stronger the other way until our hope is so great that it becomes living hope. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. You know, when hope and faith and trust, with hope, faith, and trust we have in God, that we have in God, gives us a greater strength to stand through our trials. So, that being said, I'm going to talk about how we get hope, and I'm also going to talk about the attributes of hope. So, what is hope's power, and how can we acquire it? Well, first thing we do is we have hope in God's word, right? One of the things, I should say, that we do. And I want to say that, you know, when I was, as a young kid growing up, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I was taught about God's word. I went to Catholic school. I went to catechism. I went to religion classes. I went to church. I was an altar boy. All of these things. I did, and I heard God's word preached and read so many times, but I really didn't accept it or receive it until I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and my Savior, my Lord and Savior. And I think that that's something that's key and critical, of course, and we all know that for those of us who have been in Christ for a while. But anybody who's here new, that's initial start. If you want hope, you have to believe in something to give you hope. Amen? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that down the road. When the Holy Spirit touched me, he did it in a radical way. Thank you. And he did it in a time, at a time when I was really not seeking God in any great way. My wife and I, we had probably talked about getting back into church, but we really were kind of, well, off and on. We knew we probably needed to be there for our kids to give them some kind of understanding of who God was. But when he touched me, he gave me a vision as I was driving down the road of Christ on the cross, and it totally turned me into a mess. I became a wreck at that point. You know, the worst time for God to touch you is when you're driving down the road, right? I was bawling so hard I couldn't even see where I was going. I should have pulled over. And the funny thing was is that it happened for probably at least 20 minutes. And if you drove by me, and I've shared this story with some before, but, you know, if you drove by, as you were going by, you probably would have thought I lost my family. But the truth is that that was the first time I really understood repentance and forgiveness. There was nothing that I did or said about the sins that I had committed. Like when I was going to catechism, or when I went to confession, rather, when I went to church, we had to go probably once a week. But I would go once a week and confess my sins, and I'd get the penance, and then I'd be okay. I'd go back, and I'd do it all over again. But the truth of the matter was is that even in all of those times that I gave all of my sins to the priest, I never felt really the repentance that I felt the day that God touched me. And I hope that everybody could feel that, because it wasn't just guilt, because afterwards I was full of the hope of Christ in me at that point. He had touched me in such a way that I realized that there was love now that I had never experienced before. There was something that I had, that I possessed, that I didn't ever possess before. And I would pray that every one of you, if you haven't experienced that, would come to that point, place where God touched you enough to make you realize that now you can have a relationship with Him, because that's what happened to me. I was at a point where I now believed that the Word of God was true, that it was truth when I read it. Even the hard scriptures, the most difficult scriptures that sent apostles away from Christ and sent them going in a different direction, you know. I believe that that word was there to instruct me to get closer to Him. I believe that the Word of God is full of love. I believe that He loved me, and because He loved me, now I can have hope in what that eternal promise was, when that was giving me eternal life. One of the things that I never did up to that point was I never really connected with Christ's suffering on the cross and His death and His resurrection until that day. And it was a year before I even came to this church. I had no idea what to do with it. I had this overcoming on me, and no place to... So, you know, it kind of fades as time goes on. And then one day, my wife and I, with a child friend of my daughter, their parents were coming to this church, and we decided to give it a shot. I think that was 36 years ago. And here I am today. Doing something that I feared doing my whole life. And hopefully encouraging you that there is hope in everything that we do in Christ. You know, it's a different perspective, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that as well. You know, my son also had a similar experience. It's funny because my son and I were kind of like, he was a little bit, I won't say he was disrespectful, but he was a little at odds with me because I was always trying to get him to get more involved, and kept yelling at me, "Dad, stop preaching at me." And I had kind of let things go for a while. I didn't really, God just told me to shut up. And I just, and one day we were going to a men's dance, and he was reluctant to go, and I kept bugging him. I said, "Come on, you'll get something out of it. Just come with me." He finally surrendered and came with me. And he had that same encounter as I had. He said, after he was done, it was like he was a changed man. It was just like what happened in me. And you know what? That proves to me, those two instances are all, and I just needed my own, but to have him do it as well was a proof that the Holy Spirit still works today. You know, there's some that want to preach against that, that the Holy Spirit doesn't, God doesn't operate through the Holy Spirit anymore. Well, I can tell you, thank God He does. Because if not, I would not be here. I would not know. And you know what, to be honest with you, many of us wouldn't be here, because I believe that the Holy Spirit has worked in each one of us. That's why we keep coming here seeking more. We may not be perfect, but God knows that we're not perfect. The fact that we keep struggling to do what's right and to come forward, that's the hope that the Holy Spirit gives us, that we can be forgiven for all of our failures, for everything that we've done. But we still need to make things right. Okay, doesn't really matter. You know, he's not going to let a sin that we're continually in be forgiven without us repenting and giving it up. But there is still that opportunity that I believe that hope gives us to allow us to accept that and win that fight. You know, I can't tell you how many times that I have been in a battle for my own self-confidence and myself, I would say my self-critic, to overcome that critic in me and just point to knowing that I know that God loves me. That love is so pure, that love is so great, that we can't understand it because we only judge love in terms of how we share it. But you know, there is nothing in Scripture, all of the gifts and all of those things that we understand. When we talk about hope, we can't talk about it in terms of man's understanding. We have to go beyond it. We can't talk about peace because that is something that goes beyond our understanding, the peace of God. And I can tell you that there was one time, well, I don't know if you're following what I got down here. There was one time when I lost my job, and I was really fearful. I wasn't, you know, they were cutting back and they were using whatever excuses, and I was one of the high earners, so those are usually the first to go. But they offered us a severance package, and I took the package of 6 months, and I decided, what am I going to do? I have a family, I have bills, I have, you know, mortgage, and I have debt. And I was up to here in my debt. The debt was more than my mortgage almost. But there was just something as I prayed with this, and I was worrying and I was saying, well, okay, I got to get some things going here so that I can make an earn a living. And as time went on, my severance ended, and I never, ever missed a payment. And I'm totally out of debt today. I mean, you know, I mean, that is something. It took me almost 30 years to get into debt. It took me 12 years to get out. But still, it takes time for everything, right? I mean, we need to realize that when I prayed, I had a peace about me. And this is what I want to say, because there's a little scripture in here that I'm going to have to jump to. It's in John 14:27. It says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That little part of that scripture says, "I do not give you as the world gives." That peace was not logical that I had. It was not something that I, on my own terms, knowing the consequences of what was potentially coming, that I could ever say I could have peace about that. But I want you to know, I rarely, and I can't say it didn't come into my head at times, but I rarely worried about the debt that was pending. I trusted God in everything. And just like I said, I never missed a payment, never got behind on anything, and I was able to keep it up. And then thank God for Dave Ramsey. because that saved my life. It gave me, Dave Ramsey's class gave me hope. You know, and I know that I've helped some people in here, and hopefully the hope that was given to me, I was able to share with them. And that there's a change that happens because of that. You know, hope does not come overnight, by the way. You know, you have to come to a place where you can trust that God is going, got your back, that he's got your, and it comes, I guess when you look at hope from a perspective of how we look at hope from each other, the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to look to see if you can trust somebody, right? You're not going to give your hope to somebody that you can't trust. So it becomes something that we do or that they do so that we can have trust in them. With Christ, it's a little bit different. It's what we do, not what he does, because he's already done it. Amen? Sometimes we look to have hope in Christ for things that we need now, and so he certainly can provide that. But the truth of the matter is that the thing that you should have hope in is something that he's already given you. And that's finding it. And that's why there's such a difference in the hope that the world has when I'm talking about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, when you're talking about the peace and the joy and all of those things. Through Christ, those are unexplainable the way we have that through trial. Like Paul, when he was in prison, did he have anything that should make him joyful when he was beaten, when he was on the ship? No, but he had hope in the Word and the resurrection and the purpose that God gave him to be on this earth, to do the ministry that he did. So those are things, hope that we have here on this in this world. The living hope that God is giving us, that he has given us, is something that we need to grasp in a different perspective than our thinking grasps it. Our emotions grasp it. You know, we're driven by our emotions, right? But the truth is that, you know, the hope that we have in Christ is something different. It doesn't mean it's not emotional, but it comes from a different place. Spiritual gifts and spiritual hope, spiritual peace and joy are beyond our understanding. And they're all attainable through Christ. Amen. In Peter 1:3, it says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, our trust, if we're going to have trust, we need to build it through relationships. And you're never going to have trust with anybody here unless you've had a relationship with them and you understand how they operate and what their main goals are. So many of us are selfish, so we can really only trust people as far as we can, trust them not to be what the flesh usually wants it to be, okay? And we know that we always have to be on guard. But the thing with Christ is that his death and resurrection has shown us that we can be totally, that he is totally trustworthy, that he gave himself for each and every one of us, and that we can trust that sacrifice in all things and everything. You know, we talk about trust. Well, and actually, here's a part that I spoke out, got ahead of myself. But, you know, relationship to others always comes from our experience, right? I mean, and what I was just saying, how much have they done to earn our trust? So we're always expecting things from people, as opposed to the opposite is with Christ. It's what we do, not what he does, right? In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know, if we want hope, we need to allow the Word to cut out the deception that lies in us. That's a very difficult thing to do, because part of us lives with that deception, and we're comfortable with it. But the truth is that we need to seek it out, because true hope only comes through a true relationship and a closeness to God. You know, you can say in your mind that you have hope. You can tell yourself all of these things that are not lined up with the Word of God, and you can believe them, but it's only by you letting the Holy Spirit reveal that truth to you that you can change it. Because sometimes even we deceive ourselves. Pride is the most subtle thing that lies within all of us, I think. There's always a bit of pride, and I always try to seek it out because I know, you know, that I kind of want to say things to build up my position, right? We all kind of do that. But, you know, so I'm always working on those things and trying to become more humble, try to be less needy, I'll call it. Because, you know, when you come from a background like some of us come from, you tend to be needy. You tend to look for recognition for the good things that you do. And God says, do it all without any need for recognition. Amen? Because He will recognize you. Also, hope requires patience. And how many of us could use more patience? In Psalms 27:14, it says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. You notice he said that twice in the same sentence, right? Because patience is probably one of the more common reasons for us losing hope. Lacking patience, we want to go ahead and do it ourselves, so we don't let God do His work. We end up messing it up on our own. And then we want to blame God because we did it. We don't want to take responsibility. You know, patience with ourselves. How about that? You know, how many of us lack patience for our own failings? We seem to do the same thing over and over again. And we kind of condemn ourselves. That will definitely cause you to lose hope. Because when you condemn yourself and you let Satan talk to you about what you're not doing and how you failed and all of the things in your life that you've made a mess of, it gets hard to dig yourself out of the rubble. Amen. So what are the attributes of living hope? Well, living hope gives us the ability to see beyond our circumstances. You know, like Paul was in the prison, you know, he prayed and worshiped God. And what happened? The chains fell off. And I think truly that happens to us when we're in bondage to certain things and we pray, the chains fall off. And we get freedom. We get freed from it. Some of us, you know, may be have dealt with drugs or smoking or things like that. And I don't want to say that, you know, I know people have been praying to quit smoking for a long time. And so it's not like, it just happens. There are certain things, I think, that God leaves for us to make choices on our own. But hope also, living hope also gives us inner energy and the strength to endure. In Isaiah 40:28, it says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Amen? And then also in Isaiah 40:31, and I love this scripture. I think a lot of us do. But it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not be faint. Amen. So in that, there lies the power of your hope. Soar like eagles. Walk and not be faint. Because you know you can make it. With hope, you can make it. On your own, you can't. But with God's hope and the truth that comes in His Word and all His promises, you can make it. Amen. I guarantee you that people with God-centered hope are exercising their spiritual muscle through prayer and by studying and believing in His Word. The more faith you have, the more hope you're going to have. The more trust you have, the more hope you will build. And it's just a matter of spending time. You can't have a relationship with anybody in this room if you don't spend some time. And you're not going to have a relationship with God if you don't spend the time. People with hope always seem to recover quicker because they know where their strength comes from and they're able to tap into that strength. Their countenance brings hope to those around them. How many people do you know that just always seem up? You just want to be near them because they're always positive. They're always giving. Hope gives, by the way. It's something that when you're hopeful, you're willing to give. You're willing to share that hope with other people. And you share it through prayer and counsel and just sometimes just being there for people. You know, being there when they need it, giving them hope. You know, I've prayed for people and so many times they will say, you know, that's exactly what I needed to hear. You know. When they hope fully, it means that you hope with confidence. And confidence in the Word and confidence that God can do anything. I don't care what the obstacle is. God can overcome it. Amen? In Hebrews 6:11, it says, "We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized." So what is the things that we hope for? Are we hoping for a new car? Are we hoping for a new house? Or are we hoping for a closer relationship with Christ? You know, I think that priorities need to get in line too, because, you know, if God says that He knows what we need, then what we do with the things that He gives us and the things that we desire are going to be more in line with what He wants, and then He will fulfill our need. And I bet you by the time you're done praying, you're going to need less of what the flesh desires and more of what God is about. So who doesn't need hope here today? All of us, right? In every situation. So I'm going to end with this prayer. And I'm going to ask that you all agree with me. And the prayer team, they can come forward, and that's me. So I'll be up there. But I'm going to close with this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that You were raised from the dead and that this guarantees that Your death was sufficient to pay for all my sins. Therefore, God is for me and not against me, and that You Yourself are alive today and with me to help forever. I pray that You will help me now to hope fully in Your promises so that I am freed from the greed and self-pity that come from fear, and that I might be driven to imitate Your love, and that I may always believe it is more blessed to give and to obey than to disobey. And so, Lord, grant me in these times of stress and anxiety to have the power of soul, to be joyful, and to fill my life with labors of love. Amen. Amen.